Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we truly have an outstanding show coming up for you tonight, but we'd like to start by thanking some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
We certainly would. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, which is the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens.
And of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support, so please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, the show is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them, so you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. If you like to listen on demand, we have our regularly aired shows are available via podcast on just about all of the different podcast channels. You can just search Scuttlebutt or SBN. And if you'd like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, that is available at CastBox.com. Again, just search Scuttlebutt, and you can get your blood pressure going on demand.
Especially after tonight.
You can also check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal underscore SBN. Some of the stories we'll talk about tonight are on our Facebook page, and also posted to Twitter as well, so you can pull up some additional information there. And since we do have a packed show, if we can't get to everything or you'd like to check out the more information, you can always find the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics of the day. And later on, SBN will be joined by a Coast Guardsman whose actions on a downtown Mobile street have gone video viral. Yaquez Anderson will give us the details of the viral video. We'll also talk with Louise Isola, author of the book American Boys, the true story of the lost 74 of the Vietnam War. It's the story of the men on board the USS Frank E. Evans, the only U.S. warship to leave for Vietnam and not return, and it's probably a story that most of you aren't familiar with. She'll share their story, and also she'll talk about how you can help to have these heroes' names added to the Vietnam Memorial Wall. Also, one of the last Navajo code talkers has moved on to his final duty station. And if we can get to it, legislation to fix the VA Choice Program was signed into law by President Trump last week. We'll give you the details on how it might affect you. And of course, later on, Tom's Tirade on Old Glory. It's a good one you don't want to miss. But first, it is a privilege to be joined by a veteran and patriot, Mr. Pat Downing. Pat, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hello, Cal. I've got you 5x5. How do you hear me?
You are coming through loud and clear, Pat. Are you ensconced in a bunker somewhere?
No, I'm sitting in a small room with my cell phone here, and just wanted to come on 5 minutes this evening to wish our United party tomorrow. A happy 43rd birthday.
Now, Pat, you started cutting out there, so I don't know if you moved around a bit or not. Go ahead, and can you say again, please?
I said I just wanted to come on for a few minutes this evening to wish our United States Army tomorrow a happy 243rd birthday.
Outstanding, outstanding. Yes, it is.
And those were good times back then, weren't they, Pat? I understand that you were back there when it first started.
Well, almost.
Well, you know, me and George were talking about you there, you know, man, what a good, you know, soldier you were, that you ought to be involved.
Well, you know, when the American Revolution broke out, the rebellious colonies did not possess an army in the modern sense.
Right.
The revolutionaries fielded an amateur force of colonial troops from various New England militia companies. So they had no chain of command. But in the spring of 1775, this army was about to confront the British troops near Boston, as we recall at Lexington and Concord. That was a famous shot heard around the world that Cal mentioned. And so they had to reorganize their forces quickly if they were to stand a chance against the Britons' seasoned professionals. On June 14th, the Congress voted to adopt the Boston troops. And also on this day, they resolved to form a committee to bring it to a draft of rules and regulations for the government of the Army, and they voted $2 million to support the forces around Boston. Moreover, Congress authorized the formation of 10 companies of expert riflemen from Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Virginia, which were directed to march to Boston to support the New England militia. Thus, our United States Army was born.
And it's been doing a fantastic job of protecting not only the U.S., but promoting freedom throughout the world ever since, Pat. Are there any birthday celebrations that you know of in the area?
No. I think most people are just celebrating it privately. But I also would like to mention that also on June 14th, 1914, Franklin Lane, the Secretary of the Interior, delivered a 1914 Flag Day address in which he repeated the words he said the flag had spoken to him that morning. I am what you make me, nothing more. I swing before your eyes as a bright gleam of color, a symbol of yourself. And inspired by these three decades of state and local celebrations, Flag Day, President Woodrow Wilson, on May 30th, 1916, declared that was Flag Day. And this continues on today as our Flag Day also on June 14th. So tomorrow we celebrate two very important days in our country's history: the birthday of our United States Army and also Flag Day.
Outstanding. Well, Pat, we appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us. We appreciate your service to the country and your ongoing service to our veterans throughout the southern part of Alabama. Are there any festivities that you know of going on Flag Day related in the area? I know at years back, I know some of the American Legions or VFWs might have had flag retirement ceremonies.
No, not that I'm aware of. In fact, I was talking to someone today, Bill Atkinson from the South Alabama Veterans Council, and we talked about that. We used to have some commemoration of Flag Day a few years back, and maybe it's time to resurrect that. So we'll be looking at that for next year.
That sounds outstanding. I know we were part of one that was up down in Pinecrest,
right,
on DIP,
yeah,
for a while, and Big John Tyson was always in support of that one.
But if you, Pat, if you are able to maybe move forward with this with the South Alabama Veterans Association, we with the Scuttlebutt Network would be glad to work with you guys on it and help promote it.
And that would be the organization to do that.
Right.
And, always, Tom and Cal, it's been a pleasure being with you this evening, and you guys keep up the great work you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks for all your hard work, and thanks for joining us tonight. You know, Tom, it's been... probably been, I don't know, 4 or 5 years since we had sort of resurrected those Flag Day ceremonies. And as I said, I know Big John Tyson was always an advocate for it, and it kind of gotten lost in the shuffle.
It did somewhere in there.
Ceremonies, you know, between July 4th and Memorial Day and Veterans Day. It sort of fell to the wayside. So hopefully they'll be able to resurrect that. If anyone can do it, it would be the South Alabama Veterans Council. The caretakers for that going forward.
Lou Lartigue, as well as Pat Downing. Pat is also on the board of USS Alabama Commission.
Yeah.
And as one of our fine sponsors here on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Yeah. So, the location is really something that can be figured out later, but I'm sure that they could pull together the various VSOs that want to support it and be able to put on
certainly would.
That once again. So, the Army, happy birthday, 243. I know they've been running from the Marines ever since. Anyway, on the other side of the break, Coast Guardsman and viral video star Keys Anderson when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. Check us out on Facebook. In fact, the story we're about to talk about, we've posted that to our Facebook page, so you can find more information there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And many of you may have seen the video of what transpired on the streets of downtown Mobile this past weekend, where the U.S. flag was ripped down and trampled upon by some, well, we'll just go with snowflake probably. But the flag was quickly rescued by a couple of passerbyers who took it upon themselves to respectfully fold the flag and return it to its owner. And having said that, it's an honor and privilege to be joined by one of the two that rescued the flag, Coast Guardsman Keys Anderson. Keys, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Yeah, it's awesome to be on.
I'll tell you what, Keys, I had a chance to talk with you this afternoon, and I think I saw you on TV about 10 or 15 times. But your efforts and desires and what you did for our flag has just gone viral all over the world.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right? Something so simple can have kind of a big impact. Well, it's awesome.
Yes, Keys, but see, that's the idea. It's simple to you as a veteran being in the Coast Guard station here in Mobile, Alabama, and to us veterans that have fought for that flag. But to other people, it's not simple, undoubtedly. It's just such a torment to their mind that they don't want to see it flying. You know, they don't want to see it free.
Yeah, and living in this country, which is probably the best country on planet Earth, but it's awesome that we're able to have our own thoughts and our own opinions on everything. And unfortunately, people disagree with a lot that's going on in our country,
and that's our prerogative.
Yeah, and it's like it's great. We live in the United States,
right?
It's awesome. You have that right to believe whatever you want,
right?
So that's what makes our country great, but. In my opinion, personally, I think that's real disrespectful that you're willing to use all these freedoms, but something that symbolizes those freedoms, that give you those opinions and give you that thought, you're willing to, tear down or, disrespect.
Right. Well,
that bothers me.
If there's anything in this world that they especially the United States, that they should respect, it should be Old Glory. Because
we fought
for Old Glory. We fought for the freedom. About having Old Glory so that these people could have their different opinions and different ideas about things. But to me, I think, they should never disgrace the flag because that's what stood out there for them to have the opinion that they have. But they want to destroy everything, Kill the whole damn thing.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. And like you know, walking down, it was about like 2:15, I believe. Just
right.
Me and Nikki minding our own business. We didn't see them tear the flag down, but we definitely noticed it was like, you know, not. It wasn't like it fell down. You could tell it had been ripped down and someone had stepped on it. It was balled up, you know, kind of looked like a mess. And
mm-mm-mm.
One of the first things that came to my mind was like, who would do that? That's just
right.
not right. Like,
right.
come on. And I mean, folding the flag is the least I could do.
Well, you did
the least I could do.
You did an awesome job. And Cal, my other Marine buddy here, co-host, I were talking about how long did it take you to figure out which side to put stars on, you know?
yeah.
There's nothing worse to getting than getting to the end of that fold and going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I was talking to the beautiful lady who actually did the news report, like made the article, I guess is how
right,
you put it.
Right.
She was telling me, I was telling her, I'm like, you know, when I saw the picture of the fold, it was kind of dark or whatever, and I was like, ugh, that's not the most pretty fold, but I'll admit that.
You should have broke out your phone, took a good picture of that one, man.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was like, oh, gosh. But I figured I'd catch some slack, got some heat from the guys at work, which is pretty funny. They're like, you're wearing your hat backwards. I'm like, I was out and about. Come on, guys.
Right, right. You were just being cool, weren't you, brother?
Keys, how did the video make it out to the public? Because this was basically a little security video that someone had put up because the flag had been either torn down or just stolen. So how did it get into out into the public? And then how did they find you?
I actually was out that night. Started out, we had a big group of people. We all work out of this gym called JH CrossFit, and we all just we went out. We're just having some fun. Went out to dinner, and we were walking back, and we saw the flag. You know, you saw the video,
mm-hmm.
And one of our friends who was out with us was about to go to work, and he left his TV on. He turned around and was like, "Oh, I got to turn my TV off," and he saw like you know two people folding the flag, and he's like, "Man, that looks like Keys and Nikki," and we had told him the day before that. We folded a flag while we were like, what happened, the story. And I get a text message saying, Keys and Nikki are on the news. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, did I do something wrong? Like,
yeah, that's your first. Oops.
Uh-oh.
And then about a minute and a half later, 2 minutes, he sends a video. And I was like, oh, no way. That's great. That's awesome. And one of my supervisors, I was sitting next to me and I showed him the video. And he went to my senior chief, and it went up from there. And I actually don't have Facebook. I don't have, you know, I kind of stay away from social media. So
I don't blame you.
I don't either.
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah, you don't want to see what Tom tweets.
I don't know how it went viral at all, but I guess it's got a ton of views from what everyone's telling me.
So I know you've been contacted by local media. Have you been contacted by from folks outside of the area?
No, not that. I mean, no, I don't think so. Like I said, I don't have Facebook, so a lot of people use that as a source of contact.
Right.
Unfortunately, no one's contacted me, just local media. And it was through the Coast Guard. They were pretty excited, you know, that the Coastie was the one involved and whatnot. So.
Sure.
Outstanding.
That's awesome. That's a lot of recognition for the Coast Guard.
Oh, and I wanted to say, like, anybody in any branch of service would do that. That is, it's engraved in your brain.
Yes.
Like, respect the flag, you know, respect. There's a reason you joined of any military branch, because you wanted to serve the country, and that's a direct symbol of it. So, like, anyone would have done it that has served this country. And I think that the majority of civilians would have done it as well. It's just, it's one or two people that have a bad opinion and
right.
show it's kind of gives a bad light to the whole
Amen.
Situation.
Yes. Well, we're extremely proud of you, and we're extremely proud of what you have done for your country, and you're serving it explicitly, man. I tell you, it's really neat, and I'm glad to see you get the recognition for you and Nikki both.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Outstanding. Well, Keys, we appreciate you joining us. Thank you for your service, and you know, let us know when you hit the big time. If you go on like Fox and Friends, that you know you made it.
Yeah.
Will do. Thank you, sir.
When you get to New York, call us, man. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I want to go there.
Have a blessed day, brother. We appreciate your service.
All All right, you too. Thank you, guys.
Great. Yeah, that's Keyes Anderson. He is the coastie, as he put it. He was one of the two that rescued the flag that was ripped down in downtown Mobile. And, you know, Tom, a little tangent here, but there would have been a time when, whether or not you disagreed with what was flying,
right,
you still would not have touched someone else's property.
That totally. But that dang flag is what gave them the right to have a different opinion.
Well,
rather than being dictated to, Germany or Japan or somewhere.
You know, granted, I mean, I think there is a basic lack of understanding of exactly what the flag stands for. But I think there has been a generational shift. You've had generations of indoctrination in the public school system and even in our universities that is a very anti-American sentiment.
It is.
And it's just a lack of understanding of how the economy works, how our government works, a lack of understanding of the sacrifices that were made under that flag. You know, I mean, you know, here we had the discussion of the formation of the Continental Army, with Pat Downing talking about
Colonel Downing.
It was, you know, there were dire times before this nation was able to be born.
I thought it was neat when our first original U.S. government fighting services budget was $2 million.
And the thing about it is, I don't think they knew exactly where that money was going to come from.
They didn't know where it was coming from or how they, you know, what they were going to spend it. But they
go through that in 30 minutes.
You couldn't even print the legislation on that today.
Nope, not for that. Not for $2 million.
No, but anyway, you know, great story. And who knows? Maybe they'll bump it up, and they'll end up this duo will end up on Fox News. That'd be a
there you go.
Fox and
would
Fox
be
and
neat.
Friends.
Right? Would really be neat.
That would it would be. And so. Again, you know, Keyes, we appreciate your service, and of course, I think your compatriot there. You guys CrossFit together, so you know who knows. Maybe they'll get some more folks into the CrossFit gym. You
there
get
you
over
go.
There, Tom.
Oh yes, oh yeah. But you know, Nikki said that her she comes from a military family, and she was really messed up when she saw that flag on the ground.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to understand what that means. You know, I know it sounds corny, but if I'm driving around and I see a business or even worse, a government entity that's flying a worn or tattered flag that they shouldn't be, and I'll knock on the door and say, hey, you know, you really should replace that. But hey, on the other side of the break, we are looking to be joined by Louise Isola, author and advocate for the men of the USS Frank E. Evans, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can also pick up our podcasts of our regularly aired programs are available on most of the major podcasting sites. You just search Scuttlebutt Network or SBN, and you can pick it up there. And if you like to get your blood pressure going, if you're going to go do some CrossFit and you want to get the blood flowing, you can always pull up Tom's Tirade on demand and get that blood pressure up. That's available at CastBox.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. We posted some information from today's show there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's @Cal_SBN.
And we certainly like to thank the folks at make this show possible. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimmerly at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And speaking of Serenity, we are supposed to be joined by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity next week, as well as Ms. Rhonda Davis from the battleship. They've got some upcoming
events. Battleship, yeah. A lot of events going on.
Yeah. And, of course, July 4th is right around the corner, so I know there'll be a lot of events at the battleship coming up. So Rhonda will join us to give us that information. But now it is an honor to be joined on SBN by Miss Louise Isola, author of the book American Boys, The True Story of the Lost 74 of the Vietnam War. Louise, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Well, it really is our privilege to have you on. The book American Boys, tell us a little bit about it.
So American Boys is a story of the only U.S. warship, you said it earlier on your show, that left continental United States to fight the war in Vietnam and did not return. In the middle of 1969, the entire world essentially was calling the Vietnam War a sinking ship. And the irony is a ship actually did sink in the middle of 1969, and nobody really remembers the ship. It was the USS Frankie Evans. It was a World War II class destroyer that would have been decommissioned had it not been for the Vietnam War. The Evans, a destroyer, its mission in Vietnam was to provide naval gunfire support and to assist with carrier operations in the Tonkin Gulf. So as a lot of these Seventh Fleet sailors know, this, the Tonkin Gulf Yacht Club, if you will, sailed in and out of the combat zone for Vietnam, the official combat zone, and now you were in the Marines, so I know you know about a combat zone. That's where your pay isn't taxed. It's not strategic. So these ships cruised in and out. The Evans had been deployed to Vietnam a number of times, providing naval gunfire support. In May of 1969, she went off the coast of Vietnam to support American Marines that were fighting. She was providing naval gunfire support, and she had to go back to Subic Bay, which was what every ship did, and to rearm and to pick up some more men. She was understaffed. Again, middle of the Vietnam War, Navy had staffing issues. Armed services had morale issues. I mean, the Navy was an all-volunteer force. So most people that were on that ship were draft-induced enlistees. They thought they were going to get drafted in the Army, so they went into the Navy. And it was a pretty sad time in American history. And so on her way, you know, went to rearm, and then she was called to chopped is what the term, called to support an anti-submarine warfare exercise that I found a lot of documents that indicated that this was a show of force in the South China Sea off the coast of Vietnam. All the documentation points to that. And she was cut in half. She collided with an Australian aircraft carrier. And the front half sank in 3 minutes, and 74 American sailors were killed. Happened just outside of this imaginary line called the combat zone for Vietnam. And that is the only reason why these sailors' names have never been put on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. This has been something the families have been fighting since the 80s. I was born in 1978, so I was just a young journalist, came across this story while I was working for a newspaper in San Diego as a freelancer, and I just got hooked. Three brothers were killed on the Frank E. Evans. Father and son were serving together. The son died, and the father survived. He was the highest-ranking enlisted officer on board. He was a chief, and he just passed away 2 weeks ago, which is very sad. But big news right now, and I appreciate you having me on the show, is that this group, the USS Frankie Evans Association of Veterans and Families, this is the closest they've come to seeing those names put on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Now, I've been working, my book came out in 2014, been working on this since. I spent 4 years working on my book. My book won several awards. My book was a very good case for putting the names on the wall. I would say watertight. So right now we are trying to tell people to contact their senators and tell them they support an amendment that was just filed yesterday by three senators to an amendment to the defense spending bill to add these names to the wall. The House has already passed this amendment, so now it's the Senate's version. And then, you know, once that passes, goes to the president. This is something that is so important to me, to tell Gold Star families that their loved ones didn't die in the Vietnam War during that, like, right there. I mean, the nearest land was South Vietnam. These families have been fed mounds of lies through the years. Going back to immediately after the accident, they said it happened off the coast of Manila. And I mean, I've seen the deck logs of the ships that were supporting the Evans. And this happened closest land was South Vietnam. In fact, the men who were injured and burned on the Evans in the accident, they were flown to hospitals in South Vietnam. They didn't go to Manila because it was too far away. So it's just been this thing that we've been working on. So right now we are looking for people who want to tweet, you know, send a tweet, go on Facebook, your senators, and tell them you support the USS Frankie Evans, you know, the effort to honor the Lost 74. And anybody, if you Google Lost 74, you'll find all the information. So this has been going on for years.
Louise, I know you mentioned that someone has introduced the amendment in the Senate. Do we know when that might be voted on? Is this something we need to get on the phones tomorrow?
Early July is what we have. It has to pass its Rules Committee. Mm-hmm. This has happened every year. Either it's been the Senate put it in its version, it went in the House version, or it was a sense of Congress amendment. This is the first time something has come across that said, yes, Secretary of Defense has to put these names on. Since right now the Navy agrees. So the Navy has agreed for years. Secretary of the Navy, so going back to 2010, I want to say, has agreed, yes, the names warrant engraving on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. It's the Department of Defense, and there have been a variety of reasons that I have personally never agreed with, and they're not factual. They're just basically throwing their hands up and saying, well, we can't find such and such a paper, so no. And to me, that's not a good enough reason. I mean, the Department of Defense just lost how much money? They can't find money, several $100,000. I mean, just because you can't find something, that's not a reason to say no. Then you go and you find it and you look for it. It's just been this ongoing thing. Though we think early July is kind of about the time frame. You know, they're not out for summer break. I think there's been some politics going on in Washington, but I mean, it's not a partisan issue. I've spent the week contacting senators. I'm from Philadelphia originally. I live in New Orleans. I've had contact with the senators in Pennsylvania over the years. And I've called that, you know, and these are Republicans, you know, and it's just kind of, this is not a partisan issue. And, you know, Chuck Schumer is one of the three who introduced this latest amendment. He's been working on this for several years, and I've, you know, talked to his office all the time. And, you know, it's like, you know, you have these controversial figures, and no, people don't get along, but this is not a partisan issue. This is honoring people who signed up, they volunteered to serve their country in a most unpopular time to do so, in the most unpopular year of the most unpopular war, and it's just been tragic. It's been tragic for everyone, but I mean, certainly the Sage family that lost all three of their sons on the Evans. And my book goes into how they all ended up together. You know, the Navy was supposed to be the safer place in Vietnam, and the irony was it really wasn't.
Well, and I've seen photographs of the vessel after the collision, and it was basically cut in half,
exactly,
by an Australian aircraft carrier.
Yeah, and it was when you go into the Board of Inquiry, which I've certainly indexed that thing. I mean, 4 years of work, but it was the Americans' fault. It was two young officers, two young Lieutenant JGs in charge of the Evans that night. A lot of miscommunication, fatigue played a heavy role. They were unprepared for this exercise, which was a show of force. And, you know, there's documents going into the Nixon administration showing that essentially put the ships in the South China Sea. They were trying to bring the North Vietnamese to the bargaining, to the negotiations table to end the war. under Nixon, and it was just a an interesting time in the war. But yeah, she was cut in half. It was basically it's like making a left hand turn in front of a Mack truck. I mean, this was a ship, ten times the size of the Evans, the aircraft carrier.
Yes. Louise Isola, the book is American Boys. Where can folks go for more information? We've got about a half a minute left.
Okay, if you Google Lost 74, you will find everything. You'll find my book, you'll find me, you'll find the USS Frankie Evans Association. I do want to say, you know, Vietnam, the National VFW has supported this. They passed a resolution several years ago. American Legion has supported this. The Navy supports this. A lot of people support this. And it's just, you know, it's the Department of Defense that has, you know, I don't know what it is, but nobody else does either. But this is, again, this is the closest a group has come. So we're just trying to get people to contact their senators and saying you support the amendment to add the Lost 74 to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Outstanding. Well, we will continue to promote it here. If you have any updates, feel free to let us know, and we'll be happy to have you back
on. Thank you.
Fantastic story, not one that's well known, but Louise Isola, author of the book American Boys, the true story of the Lost 74 of the Vietnam War. Thank you for your hard work and dedication to these sailors, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Great. And there is information. I think it's on our Facebook page, but as she said, you can search for it. Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Old Glory. That and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Tomorrow, June the 14th, throughout our nation, people will gather together to commemorate one of our national holidays. That's right, tomorrow is a national holiday. Don't worry, I bet most of you missed it sneaking up on you. You see, June 14th is Flag Day, in honor and recognition of Old Glory. And don't get me started on just how tattered and torn our dear old flag has become under the current crew of politicians and bureaucrats inside the Beltway and on Capitol Hill these days. Needless to say, we have never been in greater need of this nation to rally around our national standard. But before I go too far down that rabbit hole, you see, people, many of them veterans, gathered together on the 14th to celebrate a holiday that is very important to our nation. But one, it seems, that has been forgotten by many. Hell, by most, if you look at the coverage on TV. And you don't hear of many Flag Day sales or get invited to many Flag Day barbecues. And yet, we gather together each year to commemorate our national flag and to remember all that it means to us and our nation. You know, maybe what is lacking in our celebration of Flag Day is not the celebration itself, but an honest and true understanding of just exactly what it is that we are celebrating. So Top Cat is now going to go all teacher on you. See if you can keep up, because I was around for most of this. On June 14th, 1777, the Continental Congress, seeking to promote pride and unity in a fledging nation, adopted the following. Resolved that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, white in a blue field, representing a new constellation. The stars at that time represented Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Georgia, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Virginia, New York, North Carolina, and Rhode Island. It is generally accepted that the flag that the Congress adopted was originally sewn by Betsy Ross and completed in late May or early June of 1776. However, the creation and composition of the national flag that we know today might not have occurred had it not been for a rather curious coincidence in the early days of the Revolutionary War. Earlier that same year, on January the 1st, 1776, the Continental Army was reorganized in accordance with a congressional resolution which placed American forces under George Washington's control. On that New Year's Day, the Continental Army was laying siege to Boston, which had been taken over by the British Army. Washington ordered the Grand Union flag, which had the British Union Jack in place of our current Field of Stars, hoisted above his base at Prospect Hill in compliment of the United Colonies. In Boston, on that New Year's Day, the Loyalists, supporters of Britain, had been circulating a recent King George speech offering the Continental forces favorable terms if they laid down their arms. These Loyalists were convinced that the King's speech had impressed the Continentals into surrendering. As a sign of the Continental surrender, the Loyalists mistook the flying of the Grand Union flag over Prospect Hill as a show of respect to King George. In fact, however, the Continentals knew nothing of the speech until later. Upon learning this, General Washington wrote in a letter dated January the 4th, "By this time, I presume they begin to think it's strange we have not made a formal surrender of our lines." Who says old George didn't have a sense of humor? But obviously, a new flag was needed, and thus our national colors were born. As our nation has grown from its humble origins, our flag has remained a steadfast symbol of freedom throughout the world and rallying point for those who call this nation home. Perhaps the first words describing the meaning of our flag to an individual in time of war were penned in 1814 in the waters off of a besieged Fort McHenry by Francis Scott Key. As the smoke cleared from the fort and daylight came, he wrote, "The flag was still there." Of course, we now know his simple, heartfelt, handwritten poem as our national anthem. And for two centuries now, we have joined together to sing Key's words and pay respects to our flag, our men and women who have fought for and under this flag, and yes, those that have died protecting that for which it stands. In recognition of what the flag had meant to our nation, on June 14, 1916, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation calling for a nationwide observance of Flag Day. And so we still gather, though our numbers are few, as so many have done before us, to pay our respects to our flag and to remember what it has meant to each of us. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to come together in respect to celebrate our national standard, remembering the many sacrifices that have made our freedom possible. And it is necessary that we who have served under the flag in years past take the time to pass on just what it means to those who haven't served and for those yet to serve. One only need look to the mess into which this nation was allowed to descend over the course of the 8 years of the Obama administration in order to realize what has always made America exceptional. That we, as a nation and as individual service members serving under this flag, have fought and died so that others may live and live in freedom. Even as an all-volunteer military, our brave men and women serve a higher cause than the meager paycheck that they get at the end of the month. They fight for the principles like duty, honor, country, embodied by the flag. Ideals that are lost to many of a generation that has benefited from the sacrifice of those who have fought and died for our precious freedom. Those such as the privileged players of the National Football League who continue to denigrate this nation and those who fought for under the guise of social justice, beginning with Colin Kaepernick and spreading through the league of overpaid sports jocks. The assault on our institutions, such as the military and police, have spread to an outward disrespect for the office of the president, specifically because of the man who fairly won the election. It has manifested itself in the players of the Philadelphia Eagles who worked their way to being disinvited to the traditional White House visit as the Super Bowl champions. It will continue with the NBA champs as players from both teams in the championship vowed not to accept any invitation. Ironically enough, this disrespect for old glory, our traditions, and institutions will do nothing more than continue to alienate the fans that these organizations need to continue to pay the ridiculous salaries of these grown-up schoolyard bullies. In the end, they will kill their own golden goose. Because of the American people, the patriots of old and new have been awakened to the struggle that is ahead of them for their country and their freedoms and the future for their children and beyond. They are willing to turn off the boob tube, stay home from the stadiums, and start a new wave of American idealism. But you see, that is exactly why Old Glory is so special. Because no phony baloney politician and no overpaid football diva can steal from it what was earned with the blood and sacrifice of so many. And so I ask that each of you take a few moments with your children and grandchildren and tell them what the flag means to you and what it should mean to them, and hopefully, one day, to their children, should the flag still be there for them. For the Scuttlebutt Network. This is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom!
Oh, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM, streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com, along with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of old Marines with just a little bit to say the First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, if this were Sesame Street, the word for the day would be Massachusetts.
Whatever. That's the southern way there of pronouncing it.
Tom has his own
Massachusetts.
Yeah, Tom has his own phonetic.
It's mass, man. M-A-S-S. What a damn mass.
Anyway, hey, we lost 94 years old. Samuel Tom Holliday, one of the last surviving Navajo code talkers, died in southern Utah. He was among hundreds of Navajos who used a code based on their native language to transmit messages in World War II. The Japanese could never break it.
They helped save that part of the war.
Absolutely. They absolutely did. But anyway, great show. Lots of good information. Flag Day tomorrow, Army Birthday tomorrow. Go celebrate it and remind your kids and children and grandchildren of what it means. But that's going to bring us to the close of this edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for their veterans. We thank you for joining us. Hopefully you'll join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!